We're going to head down to Federal Hill first for a visit with installation artist Jonathan Latiano. When he heard the good news about his Baker Prize, he signed a lease to move into a studio at the School 33 Art Center. He's pretty well installed there at this point.
Clamps, power sander, power grinder, that's the respirator, feather duster, grip gloves, dozens and dozens of different screws, bolts, nuts, fasteners. It's the staple of any good sculpture studio, a crowbar.
Latiano is actually not new to the School 33 Art Center. 2 years ago, when he was still a grad student at MICA, he had his first solo show in this building. One piece took up an entire room. It looked like the crown of a spiky, crystalline comet, pushing its way up through a warping, buckling floor. Sort of like Superman's icy fortress of solitude.
Where I start conceptually with all these things is usually through the lens of sciences, and particularly fields of science that tend to deal with large expanses of time, right? And so things like geology and crystallization, and that's where you're talking about like Superman's fortress and that kind of stuff. It just happens, you know, because I get that sometimes in my work, and it just happens. I think we were both looking at the same thing, you know? But then also, I mean, yeah, astronomy, things like that. I mean, these nebulas and things like that. I mean, the only way we can sometimes understand these vast expanses of time is to abstract them.
Latiano's installations are appropriately immense, floor-to-ceiling affairs, and they're made even more monolithic by the application of real, homemade crystals.
These little kid science kits, different kinds, show up in my work in subtle ways. Because I'm this kind of like faux expert in some of these things, where it's like, yeah, I know as much as maybe an eighth grader, you know, who's studying really hard, right? It's like I think I have some catching up to do, but. Then, so I was using these little salt-growing, you know, like amazing crystals and that kind of stuff they're called, and space-age crystals, that's a great one. But I started then reproducing essentially what was happening there with the process and the technique just with table salt. So what I started doing was, you know, I'm taking this salt and boiling it through water, sometimes an extended period, and really letting it all kind of break apart and cool then into almost like this silt. When essentially what I'm doing is I'm undoing the process that the salt companies went through, which was making these really beautiful, uniformed little cubes, these crystals, you know. And then taking that paste that it makes and reapplying it either to my sculptures or in some cases just applying it as is to the floor or any kind of surface and letting it evaporate, right? And once it begins to evaporate, the salt molecules then will grab onto each other and reform these really, really beautiful patterns.
One of the great ironies in Latiano's installations is that they seem so unimaginably huge precisely because of what we can't see. Like a shark fin skimming the surface of the water, we're left to fret about what's underneath.
I love that idea of you let the viewer finish the thought for themselves, and I think that level of restraint too, of like you begin to show them something but you don't show them the entire thing, is far more fascinating and energetic than crossing all your T's and dotting your I's and putting a hard period on the end of these sentences that we're creating.
Installation artist Jonathan Latiano. He's one of this year's Mary Sawyer's Baker Prize winners. From Federal Hill, we're off now to the Meyerhoff Symphony Hall to meet Baltimore Symphony Orchestra principal cellist Darius Skorachevsky.
Cello is the most beautiful instrument there is, I think, and I'm of course biased to that opinion.
Skorachevsky has been given the Baker Prize in recognition of two recent recording projects. One of them is this solo album, which he's titled Cello Populus. The other is called Monument Piano Recording Project, on which he performs with a violinist and pianist. Skorachevsky engineered, produced, and edited both projects himself.
The reason I did that is because I wanted to have complete control over the sound. I feel like some performances are just really wonderful playing, but there is always something that is missing or something is wrong with a solo CD of even the best artists. So I really spent time to learn how to manage that and control with various pieces of software, and actually, you know, recording of an album doesn't take that long. I find that editing and putting everything together takes way too much time, and that's why I only have two so far. I'm working on the third one, but it's going to be some time before it comes out. There is definitely a big difference between live performance and studio recording. In live performance, it happens only once, and the audience has to love it right away. A CD, you can play it again and again and get to like it or dislike if you want. Obviously, the studio recording has to be absolutely perfect as far as the sound quality and the technical aspect, as well as musically satisfying.
Darius Skorachevsky, principal cellist with the BSO, and one of three winners of this year's Mary Sawyers Baker Prizes. From the Meyerhof, we head next to Charles Village, where we meet Lynn Parks at her third-floor home studio. The shelves here are packed with books and strewn with little antique curios. Spread across the floor are boxes full of assorted oddities.
These are ceramic doll tarts, so they make this wonderful clinking noise when you have them all. Like, there are probably about 50 of these in a box I have right here. And so we have anything from like an antique tape measure, half of an old spoon. We've got like this weird old corkscrew, door handles. Oh my gosh.
These objects will eventually fill the little rectangular compartments of wooden printer's boxes. Parks is an assemblage artist. She's also a photographer, and it's her photographic eye that attracted the attention of the Baker Prize jury. Parks has made a photo series called Lights Out Baltimore, sort of a cross between high art and a public service message. The photos are of beautiful migratory birds after they've been killed by collisions with glass-walled city buildings where the lights weren't turned off.
For me, it becomes very personal. These are portraits. Each bird is an individual, and it's just heartbreaking. These portraits reveal both the beauty of the bird, and then you get to see just the incredible textures and colors within the feathers, and you realize what a tremendous loss this is.
Parks has a way of finding and honoring beauty in unexpected places. Her photo series, Join the Fray, gives archaeological reverence to the common sights in a neglected back alley, pavement with paint spills, an old used mop, and furniture with torn upholstery.
I don't know, I always love that quote by like Ansel Adams. He said, basically, you make a photograph, and it's what you bring to it that informs it, and paraphrasing here, that it's like all the pictures I've seen, the books that I've read, the music I've listened to, the people I've loved. And somehow all of that informs these photographs.
So Lynn, I should mention that radio listeners might hear some unique speech patterns when you and I are talking together. And that is, I'm assuming, a result of a rather rare disease that you've dealt with for most of your life that affects your connective tissue. I don't know if you're comfortable talking about it, whether or not it's worth even bringing up, but I thought I should make mention of it because it seems interesting to me that, from an artistic standpoint, you find, in a sense, a certain beauty and meditation in things that might seem disfigured.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I mean, I am, in my own sense, a patchwork girl. I've had a number of these tumors throughout my body. The first one was actually in my face. They had to do a radical resection, and I have, fairly substantial facial disfigurement, or difference, as I like to call it, that it does actually affect my speech. And my face is very tight, so it's difficult for me to speak clearly. So I guess when I'm wandering through these alleys and abandoned spaces, and definitely identifying with other attached together things, disparate parts thrown together.
How much does that sort of inform your perspective on what people are like, the pluses and minuses of humanity?
Yeah, I mean, we really put so much emphasis on the face. And we value symmetry. I don't have symmetry in my face. people, when they first meet, there's always like a little intake of breath, a little bit of shock. Generally, people, you know, it's just something you get used to. And even my best friends and my family don't even notice it anymore. But for me, I'm pretty aware of those initial meetings. And I guess I just want people to become comfortable with and accept difference. And that's probably, you know, informs all of my explorations. Yeah.
Lynn Parks. She's one of three Baltimore artists who won the 2013 Mary Sawyers Baker Prize. The others are Jonathan Latiano and Darius Skorachevsky. Each winner received an award of $25,000. You can find them online at bakerartistawards.org. And that's also where, if you're an artist yourself, you can create your own profile and become eligible for future prizes and grants. The site again, bakerartistawards.org. For The Signal, I'm Aaron Hinken.